This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week. First Wednesday of the month of April. Brian Sexton along with the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman. Jeff Lagerman is out. Did I say April? I meant May. I was counting backwards. Of May. Welcome to May, everybody. How are you, Vic?
I'm fine.
Minicamp is already gone. And OTA start, what, a week from Monday? Something like that?
What are we going to do now? The draft is gone. Free agency's gone.
No, we can't start the dead zone. We can't start the dead zone junk.
2 weeks before OTA start, the exciting OTA season, which I absolutely love.
Underwear. All right, so let's talk about it. And everybody wanted to talk, and I know that you wrote in depth about the rookie class that was here, what you saw, what you couldn't see because there was no pads, but what you could see. What I saw on Saturday and Sunday, what I really focused on, was the second-year guys. You know, we talked about that draft class, Jeans first, Eugene and Eben and Terrence and Derek Cox. Jarrett Dillard was back on the field. Rashad Jennings was on the field. Tyquan Underwood has bulked up some. Mike Thomas was out there. The thing that impressed me the most were some of those lower-round draft choices and the way that they have improved, both physically in terms of what they...
Give me some names.
Well, Rashad Jennings, he just looked comfortable. He looked fluid. He looked powerful and athletic, which I don't know if he ever felt or looked as powerful and athletic as a rookie as he did. Because, of course, they think a whole lot. I thought Jarrett Dillard showed some speed. Again, he's not getting jammed at the line of scrimmage, and I understand that. But he showed some speed down the sidelines that impressed me, and we didn't really see that in his game last year. Underwood looks bigger. I didn't see him make a lot of acrobatic catches like Mike Walker was.
I saw him make one real good catch.
Mike Thomas, just he's got his role down. I mean, it looks like he was made to play that position. You know, he was, what's the right way? We didn't see him at this point last year. He had the hamstring injury, so we never caught much from
him.
Yeah,
and he's got it again. Hamstring or groin or whatever. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be a nagging thing for him. And that is a concern. He missed the last day of minicamp. So, you know, when he got the pool last year to start a training
camp.
He missed all of camp. So, I mean.
But when he did get there, he turned out to be a pretty good player.
Oh, there's no question.
And then, of course, Derek Cox stood out.
Yeah, yeah. I spent the whole weekend watching the linemen, offensive and defensive linemen. Honestly,
that's strange because, I mean, you're normally first one to point out that you can't get a whole lot from that.
No, but I wanted to see these first three picks, and I watched and watched and watched, and I was more than impressed. I was dumbfounded by what I saw. Tyson Alualu is not only a big, strong, fast, athletic
Smart,
guy.
Tough.
He's got skills. He has technique. He's been well taught. And I saw him make a couple pass rush moves that, Derek Harvey.
You've never seen
doesn't
him.
Doesn't have
right.
Although there's different positions.
Well, you
the
think
a guy,
pass rushing defensive end would have more of those, though.
Yes. The other guy... DeAnthony Smith, the other tackle that they drafted.
I have to tell you, that's the guy that Lagerman liked the most.
It looks like, I don't know how else to put it, a poor man's Alualu. I mean, the only difference between the two is that it looks like Alualu runs better in space. Well, I mean, defensive tackle is in a space position.
Well, I was talking to Lagerman.
Although I think Tyson Alualu is going to turn defensive tackle into a space position. He looks like a guy who wants to get out into space and run.
Watching DeAnthony Smith standing and talking with Lagerman, the thing that impressed him was just how athletic he is at just under 300 pounds. I mean, just quick, fast, off the ball in a hurry. You're talking about a guy who played at Louisiana Tech where nobody really focused anything on their defense, and yet you got a really solid guy right now.
Now, the third guy is the third pick, Larry Hart.
That was the one I thought was the most difficult to try to analyze.
It looks fantastic. The defensive end from little Central Arkansas, he's going to be the Jaguars. Robert Mathis, he's going to be their Dwight Freeney. He's going to be their pass
now,
rush
specialist. Devil's advocate here? I mean,
although those guys aren't pass rush specialists. Robert Mathis was early in his career.
So what makes him different than Jorge Cordova, Brent Hawkins, and Quentin Groves? And what did you see in this guy? That those because those three guys were drafted
stronger,
in that same
much,
sort of
much
position.
Stronger. Okay. Much, much stronger. You know that? That dummy they have out there that has the arm sticking up, you know, that they pass rush against. I mean, this guy, when he clubbed that thing, I thought he was going to cut the damn bag in half. I mean, it looked to me like he was going to assassinate the bag. This team has had big guys, the John Hendersons of the world, that didn't thump that bag the way Larry Hart does. He's really, really thick. Now, I believe that these first three picks, and I exclude Austin Lane, the fourth defensive lineman
from Murray State,
because he was he pulled a hamstring and missed Sundays and Mondays practices, so I didn't get a good look at him. But I think these first three guys are absolutely going to change the face of the defense, certainly the face of the defensive line, with no question about it, in 2010. But there's a price to pay for that. For that kind of concentrated drafting at one position, and it wasn't a case of concentrating out of need, because I think the need evaporated with DeAnthony Smith, and I don't think he was a guy they expected to take. I think they expected to do that deal that would allow them to draft Sean Lee. They wouldn't have a third round pick, then they would come back and take Larry Hart, and their first three picks would be Tyson Alualu, Sean Lee, and Larry Hart. I think they envisioned that as what was going to be their first three picks. And when they couldn't do the lead deal, they went back to their board and they said, well, you know, there's another defensive tackle. What they did was they drafted Tyson Alualu twice. They're the same guy. But that's just, if you're going to do a best available player, that's what you're going to get. Now, the negative to that is you've got a huge hole at safety. You've got a major need. You've got a major...
And a division with
two big-time passers.
Absolutely.
You know, Manning, obviously, and Matt Schaub. So they've got some real work to do at safety. At this point in time, I couldn't even tell you who the leaders should be on the depth chart at those two positions. I don't know. I'm leaning towards...
Gerald Alexander and Anthony Smith, right?
Yeah. I'm leaning towards those guys, but... I don't know. I Anthony Smith has already failed with a team, and Gerald Alexander sort of failed with a team. I mean, he had an injury and all that, but you know, he was traded by the Lions. And I believe in the old axiom that you don't build a winner from the waiver
Absolutely.
Wire. But so you know what the bottom line is this: I think the Jaguars have two glaring weaknesses and one other one gnawing weakness. The glaring weaknesses are at safety and the interior of their offensive line. I think they've got a real problem there, too. They're going to have to hope that Keenan Forney comes back to the way he used to be.
Which was almost a Pro Bowler.
Brad Meester can give him another year, and that Uche Nwaneri takes the next step, and that Vinny comes back from that knee. I still think he's favoring. I still think he's dragging that leg. And that maybe some other guys like Cecil Newton develops. And then the third kind of little gnawing position is wide receiver still gnawing at this team. I think Zach Miller and the role that they use him in, he'll become a good receiver, a big play guy for them. But, you know, they need another weapon at wide receiver.
Yeah. You know, I talked to Joe DeCamillis on Saturday night. And obviously, because they just wrapped up their mini camp in Dallas. And I was joking with him. I said, you know, what return team is Dez Bryant going to be on for you? Because, you know, he's not big on taking wide receivers in the first round. He goes, hold on this one, brother. He said, you should see this guy. He is a man among boys. And the Jaguars don't have that guy. They don't have that one guy that totally tilts the field.
You're going, you know, this is going to take some more time. Now, maybe they can patch a little here and patch a little there, and this guy develops and that guy develops, and they can be a playoff contender this year. But they got real strong at both offensive tackles real quickly, and they got real strong at their both defensive tackles real quickly. But you can't do it all at once. And in this case, we're talking truly about doing it all. I mean, this roster was garbage, you know, heading into last year's draft. And they have fixed a significant portion of it, but there's still some work to be done.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more Jaguars this week, right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Well, the second annual Jacksonville Backyard Barbecue Championships are May 15th at the Firefighter Tower over at I-10 in Stockton. For tickets and information, visit JaxBBQChampionships.com. That's JaxBBQChampionships.com. Or, of course, WOKV.com. The Jacksonville Backyard Barbecue Championships are a fundraiser for the Glenn Cook Memorial Scholarship for Daniel Kids. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Brian, Vic, Joe, John here. No Jeff. He is out hunting turkeys in western Nebraska. So we will just roll right along. You had Jack Del Rio in the studio last night for the second of your fan forums. You did one with Gene earlier in the offseason. How did Jack compare to Gene?
I mean, they were both fantastic. I think Gene has, you know, he has more sexy material with which to operate because it's personnel. But you know, Jack was fantastic. He was forthcoming with a lot of information. And one of the things that intrigued me, you know, he had said in his season ender at the end of last season that his expectation for 2010 was to make it into the playoffs. Okay. So I said to him, you know, Coach, the AFC South is a very tough division, but I would think that if you made your goal to finish in the top two in the division, that'll put you in the playoffs. Oh, he gave me a dirty look. Hey, I knew right away that wasn't good enough. And he came back with a upwardly adjusted goal or expectation, whatever you want to call it, to win the division. Whoa. You know, that's pretty sexy. I mean, win the division. You're in a division with Peyton Manning and Matt Schaub. You know, I'm not even going to put Tennessee in there, although
well, you leave Matt
Chris
Schaub
Johnson, they're pretty sexy too. I mean, you're in a division with Peyton Manning, Matt Schaub, and Chris Johnson, and you want to win it? I don't think you can. I don't think anybody can fault the attitude that this team has taken into the spring practice season. And they are, David Garrard is talking as though he's a completely rededicated guy, and the coach is clearly a different guy. Would you agree?
No, I would. I would.
I don't think he's ever been more agreeable. I don't think he's ever been more accommodating.
No, you can tell that he feels good about what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could see last year as this defense got worse and worse and worse that his mood got worse and worse and worse because it's his identity.
Yeah.
I think he feels real good about where they are right now with some of these players.
Yeah, see, I think you've hit on something there. That's what makes him feel good. It's good defense that makes him feel good as a coach, as a teacher. And he knows they're going to be better on defense. But I know I feel very strongly that if they don't do something at safety, if they don't fix the situation of safety, it could be.
Is it such an emergency
that
you would go after the Rams guy? That on June 1st is going to become
such an emergency that you would go after Darren Sharper off a microfracture?
Yeah. Yeah, but do you make the bold move now of going after a guy who's probably going to be a big money player?
I can't find out what the deal is with OJ Atogwe. Nobody's going after him. The Rams are treating him as though they don't want him. And I ask, I ask people here, and there's just no reaction.
Well, he's the biggest name.
He had a shoulder injury last year. Maybe there's something left there. I don't know. But he is clearly, you're right, the biggest name.
He's going to be the biggest name free agent, you know, across any positions when this whole thing is done. And St. Louis has until June 1st to sign him to a long-term contract or he becomes unrestricted.
Right.
At which point, his name is likely to become very significant down on the market. Although, you know, we don't always know that.
I can't get any kind of reaction from anybody on him.
Have you found any other guys out there that could come in and help this team?
Nope.
I mean, I haven't either. I was hoping I was missing someone, but there aren't a lot of players just floating around.
Someone asked me and asked, someone sent an email to me and said, when the Jaguars were trying to sign Darren Sharper, why would you sign a 34-year-old safety? Because all the 24-year-old safeties are gone. This is what you're left with.
Coming off of a heck of a year, but 34 coming off microfracture surgery is a gamble of the law. And I worked with Darren in NFL Europe a couple of years, and he's a great guy, but he's not the same young player that he once was with microfracture surgery.
Yeah,
no doubt.
They're going to have to coach him up. Mel Tucker and his coaches on defense are going to have to coach up those safeties.
If it's an emergency, and we're just using that word, you know, code red, code blue, however you want to put it for this football team, do you try and go out and swing a trade then?
No, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I would hope that Gene would resist that because of what John Denis is doing over here with his arm. Next year is going to present the best quarterback class maybe in NFL history, and this team hasn't drafted a quarterback since Byron Leftwich in 2003. Amazing.
So you want all the ammunition you can.
Yeah. Now, Gene traded for a fourth-round pick next year, traded the pick that he got for Groves from Oakland to New Orleans to get a four.
What a brilliant
move. And I know for a fact that's ammunition. He's acquiring ammunition that he might need next year to jockey in a position to go after the guy he wants.
Right.
You don't want to start trading that ammunition away. Now, if it's a seventh-round pick, go ahead. But if it's a seventh-round pick, what are you getting?
Yeah.
You know, more scrap.
Well, you just look at that position. Anthony Smith, Gerald Alexander, Reggie Nelson. It's so perilously thin.
No. Courtney Green is a guy I want to watch. And there's another guy. Undrafted guy from Norfolk State, Terrell Whitehead.
He's a big kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he kind of looks like a poor man's Taylor Mays in terms of his body style.
But listen to the desperation in that. I mean, yeah. You know, you want to go to the playoffs, and you're not here. You know, Anthony Smith will hit you. That's the one thing you know about him. He'll also pop off, say something stupid, and then get burned on a double move.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
cue Tom Brady.
Or maybe that won't happen again to him. I don't know. But he will hit you, and he played pretty well here last year. Gerald Alexander was playing well until he got hurt late in the season. Then his performance fell off. Maybe those guys can get it done for you. I'm hoping.
All right. Well, the Jaguars obviously have to address that on the defensive side of the ball. And then the middle of the offensive line, as Vic mentioned, is an area. We'll keep talking about this with you here.
Those are the two spots, in my opinion. Those are the two trouble spots.
Now, the middle of the offensive line is one you would have liked to have been able to find a guy this year.
Yeah, but...
young guard, because they haven't drafted many young guards.
Center
Ron Airey was the last one they drafted.
Center crop in this draft was awful. Guard was weak after you got past Iapati and the top guys. The safety crop was not very good either.
Right.
Truth be known, once you got past Eric Berry and Earl Thomas, it wasn't very good. And people keep saying, what about Chad Jones? I don't think so. Don't ask me why I don't think so, because it's that kind of question I can't answer, if you can kind of figure that out. But yeah. I don't think so.
All right, folks. We're going to take a break here for news at the bottom of the hour. And we will continue with another 30 minutes of this fine radio program on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Jaguars This Week brought to you by JustX Watches. You can get yours exclusively at Espling Jewelers. Brian Sexton back with Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato, John Danina along here. Jeff Loggeman out of the picture this evening. We'll be back next week. So, we don't declare this the dead zone yet. It's way
too early. No.
But we got 2 weeks of rampant speculation about what I don't know. But that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Before the OTAs open up here.
It's just a little, you know, come down after mini camp, and we'll pick this back up in OTAs. And
you know, we've seen a couple of big deals the last few days here. Patrick Willis, the linebacker for the Niners, got a big deal. And Evans, the guard for New Orleans, got a big deal.
Jari Evans.
I thought we might see fewer of those heading into the final season, final year of the labor agreement.
Yeah, what does it say that, you know, Chris Johnson, of course, wants a new deal. Sounds like Tennessee is talking to him. What does it say? No one knows.
Yeah. You can go six different ways from Sunday. But there isn't any indication that the labor deal is going to get resolved anytime soon, is there?
Nope.
I mean, there's all kinds of speculation that it might, but
I have not read one optimistic word.
You still have owners, and for that matter, you have D. Smith and the Players Association encouraging the players to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Put aside part of their paycheck, you know, have your own personal war chest, so to speak, so that if you do have a season without football, money is there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many players are taking advice, but clearly owners are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll bet you the percentages are low.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
a guess.
Right. Let's grab a couple phone calls here. We've got Lucas, who joins us from the South Side. Lucas, welcome to the show.
Hey, let's get right to the point. Y'all are talking about who we think will play safety. After watching last season, I'm pretty excited to see what Anthony Smith can do. Because after he came in for Reggie Nelson, he was laying the lumber pretty good there.
Yeah, if there's one guy, Lucas, out of that bunch that I would like to see more of, it would be Anthony Smith. He really did do some things. You see, he's got to overcome a reputation for being for blowing coverages, for being overly aggressive, for being more of a tackler than a defender. And that's just not what these defensive coordinators want nowadays. They don't want guys who will strike a knockout blow and then blow a coverage that costs you a touchdown. You've got to be these guys nowadays, everything is about denying the big play, and you've got to be more of a thinker back there than a hitter. And that's going to be the challenge for Anthony Smith.
Are those kind of things coachable, though? You know, coverage, you know, reading, that kind of thing. You know, with some good, you know, high-quality NFL coaching, you would think that. That's the kind of thing you would be able to teach a guy like that. Because he seems pretty good at almost every other facet of the game.
I got to figure he's gotten good coaching in Pittsburgh and St. Louis before here.
Well, that's why they quit on him in Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, Cowher loved him, drafted him in the second round because he loved his aggressiveness, loved his hitting. And the thought was, we'll teach him how to play. They sure didn't.
Oh, same thing with Reggie Nelson.
Finally, they quit. They said, that's all. We can't take anymore. Yeah. And you got the same thing going on with Reggie Nelson. Now, whether he responds, I don't know. But I can tell you this. Safety play in minicamp was not good. The remark was made to me by someone important.
I wonder who that is.
The remark was, where were all the plays made in minicamp? And I said, well, I saw Ernest making a lot of them. Ernest Wilford making a lot of them down
of the
seam. And bingo. They were in the middle of the field.
I remember Ernest. They should call that the Ernest Wilford route because that's all he did.
Yeah, I should call it the Ernest Wilford minicamp.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks sensational.
Yeah.
Does he look lighter to you, by the way?
Looks better than I've ever seen him, which worries me, you know, because I've never considered Ernest to be a burner. It can only mean one thing.
The safety play is really that bad.
Yeah.
355-NFL-1. Lucas, we appreciate your phone call. Let's grab Terry out at the beach. Terry, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I'm going to kind of change gears here for a minute because, you know, Jack's a defensive man, and I'm calling to comment on Alu.
Yes.
And I think one thing we've been missing for all these years is definitely a pass rusher like himself.
Yep.
Somebody to get in there and put pressure on that quarterback, and don't give Peyton Manning the time to stand back there and take his pick of who he wants or Tom Brady or any of the veteran quarterbacks. And that's basically what I wanted to comment on was I think they did good with their 10th pick with Alu. I like him. I'm real anxious to see what he's going to do this year for the team.
You know, I would be real interested. I say this a lot, but I don't know how else to say it. I'd love to, you know, hook these guys up to a lie detector and put all of the names that came after Tyson Alu in front of them, you know, all of the Brian Belagas and Des Bryant's, and Jason Pierre-Paul's and Derek Morgan's, and who else came after?
I'm looking up the board right now. Sean Weatherspoon.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to.
Earl Thomas.
I'd like to
Brandon
put
Graham.
All these names in front of them and go down. You know, they're hooked up to the machine now, the needle's gone, and say, would you rather have Tyson Alu than this guy? No. you know, and see what the needle does. I have a feeling that they would say no to each name and the needle wouldn't jump.
Let me ask you the other question then. What names might they have said yes to?
Well, I think that there was an issue between Tyson Alualu and C.J. Spiller, and I think there's evidence to support that Spiller would have been the guy.
Okay.
It's that, you know, they were clearly going best available player, and I think Spiller might have been a notch above Alualu. I mean, we know that the two top linemen, McCoy and Sue.
Yeah, that was never even a possibility.
You know, ranked higher than Alualu, we're led to believe. I'll bet you a couple of those offensive tackles did, but I think what I'm talking about is after having seen him in minicamp, I don't think I could have made the needle jump.
355 NFL one. Appreciate the phone call, Terry. Let's go to Rob in Orange Park. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Hey guys, good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do so.
Hey, follow up on that. Piggyback on that last guy a little bit. I think a front four of Campman, Knighton, Alualu, and Harvey sounds like a pretty decent front four. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. My question is with regards to the safety position as well. I thought I had seen online a couple of days ago that Gabriel Wilson is still out there. Is he just a guy, or is he signed with somebody now?
I'm not up with Jabril Wilson anymore. A couple of years ago, he was a hot name, but
yeah, Giants,
he's got
Raiders,
some years
Dolphins
on him now.
Yeah, I want to say that he's back with the Dolphins.
I thought he was still floating around, so it sounds like he's just a guy now. But what about Don Carey? Can he play safety?
You wouldn't move him. He played so well a corner in minicamp that you wouldn't move him. And that comes.
So is he going to play nickel? Because it seems like
yes.
Between Mathis and Cox, it'd be a tough time for Carey to get on the field.
He's got a very, very good chance of being this team's third corner, their nickel corner.
Can Scotty Starks move, or is he done?
Scott's too small to play safety.
Scott's
going to be in competition with Don Carey for that nickel cornerback job.
Right, and Scotty's had trouble the last couple of years staying healthy.
Yeah, I mean, he's just frankly, look, I asked the question, and that's what I got. No, too small to play safety.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back and have one elongated segment to finish out the show this evening. You're listening to Jaguars This Week on the first Wednesday of May. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton along with Vic Ketchman here. Jeff Loggeman returns next week. Let's go back to the phone lines. Chris joins us from the north side. First caller of the final segment of the program tonight. Chris, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, guys. I have two questions about quarterback undrafted Trevor Harris. How's he looked, and what are his chances are that he makes the team, and also the undrafted halfback. I don't know his name, but how's he looking if he's going to be a special teams returner for us? And I'll
undrafted halfback. Do you mean sixth-round pick Deji Kareem?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
You mean Scotty McGee.
Scotty McGee is a sixth-round pick, too, but he's a cornerback/punt returner. Mostly he's punt returner. Period. But there's two sixth-round picks. Deji Kareem from Southern Illinois is a running back. He's built like Maurice Jones-Drew, and he's going to return kicks like Maurice Jones-Drew did in the first 2 years of his career. Guy has a lot of pop.
Maurice is pretty good.
Calling him explosive. He ran a 4.37 40 and has a 43-inch vertical jump. Those jumps, broad jumps, vertical jumps, that's how these coaches measure and scouts measure explosiveness, your burst. Is your ability to jump is directly related to your ability to push off the ground and burst into the hole. The kick return or the punt return guy, Scotty McGee from Norfolk State, right?
No, James Madison.
James Madison, I'm sorry.
He, by the way, is very small.
Yes, he's small, very quick, lights out punt returner, is said to catch punts naturally. Just fields him with natural ease.
So not like Chad Owens?
No. No. Chad did not. He fought the ball.
Oh, yeah.
He fought anxiety.
He's the perfect antidote to catching it naturally.
Gene Smith told me that Scotty McGee was drafted for the express purpose of becoming this team's punt returner. So it is his job to lose. And I have a feeling that Deja Kareem is in the same position with the kick return job. It's his job.
What's the injury that sidelined Kareem? There was an injury, was there not?
He was he practiced this weekend.
No, not this weekend. I mean in college. He was coming off of an injury.
He had 1,600 yards.
Maybe his junior year.
I'm sorry. I'm not up with the, you know, he had a big, big senior season. Now, the next question is about Trevor Harris, the undrafted quarterback from Little Edinburgh. This guy had numbers in college that just eye-popping. I think his last game he completed 56 of 70 passes for 647 yards and 5 or 6 touchdowns. And that's kind of like, I think that was his whole career. In fact, I think it was, who the heck told me? I don't know if, I forget if it was Mel Tucker or one of the coaches told me yesterday that he lost one game 85 to 64 or something like that. That it was.
Arena Bowl.
Yeah, and they just score. I mean, and the guy he threw 100 touchdown passes. In college, he does not have a big time arm. He's got a good enough arm. He can drive the ball, meaning throw it 20 yards.
Does he have an arm at least equivalent to Colt McCoy?
Oh, absolutely. Right. He looks to me like he's got a Drew Brees arm.
In other words, pretty good.
Now Drew Brees has got a soft arm now.
Yeah, but he was pretty good last.
But he can throw it hard enough to get it into the honey hole.
Right. And he's smart as a whip.
But he's not gonna heave it way down the field and let somebody run under it.
No, but
when he throws the ball deep, it's going
to
be a back shoulder throw. It's going to be a fade type of throw. And I think that's the kind of arm that Trevor Harris has. Now, what he does have is big time smarts, big time poise. One scout here told me that Trevor Harris has quote unquote it. He has it.
Well, isn't that what Drew Brees has?
Yes.
I mean, guys who are too big of a comparison right now.
Natural quarterbacks have a real flair and instinct for the position. He is going to compete to he's going to contend to make the 53-man roster the way it stands right now.
I called it up real quick. 11,899 yards.
Oh, how many years?
In his college career. Dude doesn't really say.
11,000 yards.
11,000 yards. Two-time Harlan Hill Trophy finalist, which is the Heisman on the Division II level, mm-hmm. Absolutely. 966 completions, 1,464 attempts, 12,691 yards of total offense.
He's a good runner.
Here's one for you. First quarterback to throw for at least 2,500 yards and 20 touchdowns in all four seasons. So he was a four-year starter.
Wow.
As a senior, 3,300 yards, 24 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions. And that ratio, is big to Jack.
Now, we're talking about a, obviously, lower level of play.
Right.
Now, we're not talking about...
But he majored in math and had a 3.5 GPA, so...
He's a very bright guy. He's got great leadership skills, poise, the whole bit. It's a low level of play, but let's remember that it produced some pros. Leander Jordan is from that league.
Indiana, Pennsylvania, right?
Chris Valerio is from that league. He was a starter with the Bears. The cornerback who was drafted this year, the name you can't pronounce.
Oh, yeah.
The speed guy.
He was an Indiana PA guy,
another,
too, right?
Another IUP guy. He's from that league. A tight end with the Ravens for a long time, and there's a receiver in the league somewhere. I forget his name. Is it Jenkins? I think it's Jenkins. Not Michael Jenkins, from that league. So Andre Reed is from that league. Billy White Shoes Johnson is from that league. A long time ago, but they've turned out some players.
355-NFL-1. We appreciate your phone call. Let's go to Arlington, where Keith is standing by. Keith, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. And last year, I remember that, I forgot who asked the coaches the question, do you regret any of the draft picks last year? And they said that it was like the first year in the Jack Del Rio era that they didn't regret drafting any of the players. Before that, there was always like one or two players they were like, ew, why did we draft him? But last year they didn't. Did they have the same feeling with this draft class in minicamp?
Yes. I asked Terry McDonough that question, and he said that there isn't anybody that they saw out there that didn't fit. When they sign a guy who, not a draft pick, but an undrafted guy who clearly doesn't fit, he very quickly gets cut when minicamp is over, or sometimes before minicamp is over, and that hasn't happened. If you were to see that all of a sudden they've whacked a guy from their minicamp roster, you know, an undrafted guy, then it tells you he just didn't match up. He wasn't good enough to play with the people on the field. They didn't do that last year, and they haven't done it this year.
Can I give you some names from the PSAC real quick?
Sure.
The league we're talking about, because there's some interesting names. Jari Evans, who just got the
big deal. Absolutely. Bloomsburg.
With the guard for the Saints, mm-hmm. that just got a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
How about Jim Haslett?
Jim Haslett, IUP. Mm-hmm.
Keep going. Bob Ligashevsky, the former special teams coordinator here. John Mobley, the longtime linebacker with the Broncos.
Oh, yeah, Mobley,
the
starting linebacker of the Broncos. Kutztown State, right?
Yes, Kutztown mm-hmm. State. Andre Reed, you mentioned.
Kutztown.
How about Joe Sensor, the longtime tight end for the Vikings?
Mm-hmm.
Does their radio broadcast now. That's about it. Andre Waters from Cheney, the longtime. Mm-hmm.
Cheney State. They've had more. Like I said, Chris Valerio, Leander Jordan. There's another guy. There's a tight end in Baltimore. Tight end with the Ravens. He's been there for a while. Ben something. And he's an IUP guy. And there's a receiver in the league right now. I want to say his name is Jenkins, who's from that league, too.
Yeah, I don't see it on the list here.
But, I mean, they turn him out.
Yeah. No, well, it just goes back to what you've said for years, and that is football players are where you find them.
You find football players where you find football players. I mean, what does it matter what league they come from? There was three Pro Bowlers this year from Kent State.
Really? Who?
James Harrison.
The tight end, obviously, in
Gates.
Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates and Joshua Cripps.
Hey, by the way.
go figure.
Go figure. I was listening to an NFL broadcast last night. I was driving home from Orlando late. And the guys on the broadcast got the question, who's the best tight end in the league, right? And they threw out the standard names. Antonio Gates, the guy in Dallas. Why can't I think of his name? From Tennessee. Yeah, Jason Witten.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was an interesting question because I kept coming back to the guy, Vernon Davis, mm-hmm. In San Francisco. Think Vernon Davis belongs with one of the top three or four?
He had a big game against the Jaguars. I mean,
he had a couple of big games last year.
The position really is defined by pass catchers now, and that means that Dallas Clark is the guy.
He's got to
be there
too.
Not Dallas Clark. Help me out.
Clark's got to be near the top because he's pretty darn good.
What's his name?
What team?
This Colts Clark. What's his name?
Dallas Clark.
It is Dallas Clark?
Yeah, Dallas Clark.
I always get that mixed up. Who's the baseball manager?
Dallas Green.
Yeah. I always get that. In this case, I got it right. Dallas Clark.
Well, it was sitting on the top of my head as I drove home last night thinking, there's got to be. How come Vernon Davis doesn't get the good player?
Then there are the real tight ends, the guys who catch and block, the Mercedes Lewis, the Heath Millers.
Yeah.
You know,
Heath Miller belongs on that list,
I mean,
too.
And these guys are completely ignored because they don't have enough catches. That's why I don't like them. That's why I don't like the position.
Thanks, Vic. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Have a great night, everybody.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.